Good morning. This morning I'd like to start off by thanking the elders and the brothers and sisters for giving me this opportunity to come before you and proclaim God's word. First, I'd like to start off my lesson this morning. The title is How Hot Is Too Hot. So I thought this would be a funny lesson because the weather in Kentucky has been wild lately. So definitely this summer, it's been up in the 90s or higher at some points. It's been raining and cold at some points. And definitely I work at nights at UPS, so if it's humid outside in the night, then it's definitely going to be humid in the wings. And we would all say that is pretty hot. Now, another little quick story. Almost most of the time when me or my granny is out driving, I'm usually driving or she's usually driving. One thing we always would say, man, it's always too hot outside. And we would seriously mean it too. Every time I think about that, I think to myself, man, it would be like even hotter if we were to go to the place of torment. Because the hotness in the place of torment doesn't compare to the hotness on this earth. See, I do not even want to think about going to a place that hot. We don't even want to touch fire when we are cooking or something hot because it will burn us physically. So just for a moment, think about the word physically. The word physically means our physical skin, so we can touch it. So whenever you touch your own skin, you don't want to damage it. So in a spiritual sense, also in that sense, we have a soul. And doing unrighteous things can cause you to damage your soul, and it would cause you to burn your soul. There is no way we would want to burn our soul. Some quick little facts for you. The temperature of the sun goes up to around 9,941 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty hot, so that's why they tell you not to stare directly at the sun, and they tell you to wear sunglasses. That takes me back to the scripture, Acts 19, verses 1 through 19. That's about the conversion of Saul. And so on his way to the road of Damascus, we're going to read that real quick. Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. And keep in mind, this is about the conversion of Saul. And it reads, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for the letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city. It will be told to you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. Verse 11, and the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So stopping there for a second, you have here Ananias. He was honestly kind of scared about going and talking to Saul. Because honestly, I would be scared too if I heard some guy was coming to Damascus on his way to persecute me and put me in jail and stuff like that. And so definitely I would be scared too. And so continuing in verse 15, but the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, for Ananias departed and entered the house, after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. So now you see why I told you that they tell you not to stare directly at the sun, because it's a bright light. Because if you stare directly at the sun for too long, you could become blind. And so I could just imagine how I would be if I was one of those people walking with Saul and see a bright light just came out of nowhere and it blinded me, and that I would be kind of distraught by that, because I'd be like, man, I'd be in awe. So another fact, an oven also could get up to maybe 190 degrees Fahrenheit, and lava can get up to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, somewhere around there. So that takes me back to the scripture reading, Revelation 21, verse 8. And I appreciate Brother Simmons reading that for me. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And it reads, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, also there is another verse I was kind of reading while I was looking at the scripture reading, while it was being read. If you go up a little bit in chapter 20, verse 13 through 15, that's Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 through 15. It reads, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, and every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So if you die in your sins, and you don't die as a Christian and don't die living a righteous life, your name is not in the book of life at all. You will be thrown into the lake of fire with Hades, and you will be judged for every deed that you have done. There are many things that can get you into the place of torment, but the one major thing that can get you there is sin. Sin comes in many shapes and sizes. I'm briefly going to give you some insight on some things that will cause you to be put in the place of torment. If you would turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 28 through 29. That's the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 28 through 29. Let's start with verse 24. So verse 24 through 29. Verse 24, and it reads, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Verse 27, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. And let's continue to verse 30 also. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Let's just go down to verse 32. Excuse me. But without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So going back up to verse 27, where it talks about men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of the error. Recently, just maybe a couple months ago, there was a Pride Festival, and one sin that they talk about in the Bible is, that God talks about in the Bible, is homosexuality, and that's not accepted. In the beginning, whenever God made Adam and Eve, it wasn't ordained for a man to marry a man, or a woman to marry a woman. And it wasn't also ordained for a man to have sexual relationships with a man or a woman to have sexual relationships with a woman. And in order for a man to have sexual relationships with a woman, he has to be married and they have to become one flesh. Also, God will give you over to the world if you continue to do the things of the world. Honestly, if you were aware of the right thing to do, you need to be placed in a place of torment. All these examples of sin and the people who commit them will not get into heaven. And it also reminds me, I was paying attention in class this morning when Brother BJ talked about it's more like looked at about what you do. Us as Christians, if we are out in public like drinking alcohol or smoking or doing things that can hurt our body, we're looked at non-Christians. And so they would say, man, I thought he was doing the right thing, and so he's not setting a good example. And so in the Bible it says we are the light of the world, and so we need to show that. Now, if you would turn to me with the book all the way back in the Old Testament to the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 14. This is a story, well, not the story, but this is the instance of Cain and Abel. And most of us already know that Cain disliked his brother and he murdered him. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 14. If I can get to it quick enough. Anyway. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 14. And it reads, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.'" Verse 8, "Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Verse 9, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' He said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you, and you will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth.'" Verse 13, "Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.' So here you have Cain. Back in the Old Testament, God accepted animal offerings. Cain was very jealous and envious of Abel because God accepted his sacrifice rather than Cain's. And so here you have an instance of lying and deceit, because you see in verse 9, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? And Cain just straight up said to him that, I do not know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? So that's deceitfulness and lying. And the Lord asked him what he had done, and so the Lord already knew what he had done, because the voice of his brother's blood was crying to him. And so you see here, that's an instance of murder, lying, deceit, and sinfulness and unrighteousness in general. And so Cain was sorrowful, and he was scared, and he was like, my punishment is going to be too great to bear. So in general, if you know it's wrong in the beginning and you do it anyways, then your punishment should be too great to bear. So we have to remember that if we are practicing these things, we are still giving full praise to those people who do those things in the world who are not Christians. So if you turn with me, if you would also turn with me to Acts chapter 5. That's the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is an instance of Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to Peter and they got struck down. And by the way, if I didn't mention it, but in the beginning, if I say anything wrong or if anything's questionable, just let me know after service and I'll be willing to talk it out with you. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it reads, but a name named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With his wife's full knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold and did not remain your own, and after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And verse 5, and as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what happened, and Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. So here you have Ananias and Sapphira selling a piece of property. They decided to keep back some for themselves, but they really didn't have to lie about it. I mean, the thing is, you really don't have to lie about it, because, I mean, they had a choice whether to keep back a portion of their money or not. So Peter asked them, Why has Satan filled your heart? And so Satan definitely filled their heart in the beginning whenever they decided to keep some of the money back and lie about it. And they deceived, and they were deceiving Peter. And so the thing that really points out in this verse, in verse 4, is you have not lied to men, but to God. So when you go out and lie to people on the street, you may think you're lying to them, but really you're actually lying to God. And so God knows your heart and God knows you're lying. So definitely we should keep that in mind. And in verse 5, in the next verse, Ananias fell down and breathed his last breath. And great fear came over all who heard of it. To be honest, today, if I would have heard somebody just fell and then just died suddenly, I would be scared too, because I would be like, man, maybe the same thing could happen to me. And so later in the verse, later in the scripture, Peter came to his wife again. And so Peter asked, tell me whether you sold the land for such or such a price. So in instance, Peter was giving her a chance to tell the truth. Peter was giving her a chance to tell the truth and was asking her whether you sold the land for a price or not. And so you see that she already had in her mind, whenever she answered Peter back and said, yes, that was the price, she already had it in her mind that she was going to lie to Peter regardless. And then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? So anytime you commit a sin or you decide to commit a sin and you're doing something wrong and you know it's wrong, then you're putting the Lord to test, because you are testing his authority. And so you see that she also fell down immediately and breathed her last breath, and great fear came over the whole church. So honestly, if any of you guys were probably heard of it, you guys would probably be spooked or two like that. So as you think about this, there are many different types of sins. I just wanted to give you guys a couple examples of different instances in the Bible where people have died physically, or people have died because of sins that they have committed, or people have converted, like Saul. He converted because he realized he was wrong, and he was praying while on the road. He was praying when he got to Damascus. And there are many things that you can do to prevent that. If you are a Christian and you need to confess, it's not too late. Whenever I exercise, my trainer, he has this brand called Reset, and that's one of the slogans on the shirt. It's never too late. It's never too late to reset your life in a way to where you can be able to go to heaven. And it's never too late to change your life around and to repent. So, and if you're not a Christian, hopefully this gives you some insight on what could happen definitely to when you do sin. And we're glad that you're here, and we definitely want you to come back to any of our scheduled services. And also, this is a little wake-up call, definitely, as far as you realizing, because whenever I read this, I was like even realizing myself, man, if I do the wrong thing, like this could happen to me. So also, that isn't the only thing. You need to have the plan of salvation. So you need to have the plan of salvation, you need to hear, you need to believe, you need to confess, you need to repent, and you need to repent, confess, and be baptized. And that's not the only thing. And I like to add this too, is you need to continue to grow, because if you don't continue to grow, you won't grow as a Christian, and you won't grow as a person in general. And if you don't grow as a person in general, you won't be able to know how to get to heaven. So just keep these things in mind, and if you have any concerns or questions, just come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.